You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to Quantum Leap Book Club. During the next hour, beloved mind scientist Parisha and her guests from around the world will read and discuss various best-selling books with well-known authors. Every show will apply retention techniques designed to help you to absorb powerful knowledge to effectively change your life. Join us every week for a thought-provoking hour and re-listen as often as you can. You will be delighted by what you learn, and you will be excited by the results. Are you ready to take the quantum leap? Here's Parisha.
Greetings. This is Quantum Leap Book Club. I'm your host, Parisha, and my co-host this week will be Geraldine Dalby-Ball from Sydney, Australia. We have Trina Cooper, who is from some particular suburb there. You'll have to tell us, Trina, what that is, from Denver, okay? And then we have Rosemary Heyer, who is with us from Frankfurt, Germany, quite a ways away from Arizona, I'll tell you. And then I have Joyce Mullenhauer, who is right here in Arizona. Then we have Marianne Love, who's in Melbourne, Australia. And we have Mike Delar, who is in Montreal, Canada. So we're pretty much all over the world. So we send and collect winds with beautiful messages from the whole of the Mother Surface. So welcome. And our book that we're actually studying and working through is a challenging, exciting one, and as much a teaching book as a story, okay? And that's Inside the Earth, the Second Tunnel, and this is Radu Sinamar's book, okay? And so basically what I want to do this week is first see how many of you have actually seen the science update to where they are actually admitting that through the satellites, particular possibilities that we have, that we do some kind of a screening thing that gives us more transparency of the Earth, are saying there could be a big lake or an ocean in the center of the Earth. Can you imagine? Whoever could believe such as that, right? So anyway, we're studying that. We're learning the science of its possibilities, and we're getting real excited because it covers many fields of which we have studied. The co-host and I have been into many avenues of exploring just such as this. And the reality that we're celebrating is that we don't even know or touch the surface of exactly how much we are involved in as a being that we don't even know about, that we have not really been taught or grown up with the idea that there is an invisible world that we are physically a major part of. And we're expanding that awareness, and what we've done over our time together is explore all of that through science information as well as journeys and experiences that we've had. So we're excited to share all of that with you as we continue with the book. So some of you have been saying we're moving a bit fast for you, okay, and that they're actually looking for kind of a conclusion, or let's say a summary of what it is that we've gotten out of this. So this week, I thought instead of particularly following up a certain page and moving forward with the book, that we need, you know, each one of you have had your own experiences. In fact, it was Trina, one of the particular shows that we've done, has actually said for her, it is a journey, that she feels that she goes there with spirit and within her mind and her experiences to do that. So this is basically what I think they're asking for. I'm trying to interpret exactly what they want to know, because I think that right now, especially over the last few weeks, you have become very detailed with the information in the book, and that you're actually doing quite a powerful summary of that. So let's take it. Let's go. Each one of you look through the chapters of which we've already read. I think we're in chapter 3 at this point. Is that right? Last page was 88 that we were on. So let's go back to what you can recall of chapter 1, or even segments of chapter 1 that you had reaction to. And I know that all of you shared with me that you've had reaction to the extraordinary information. Like I said, we're reading a story that is more like an actual teaching book. Okay, we're learning things that we kind of know another aspect of, especially the black hole stuff, because all of us have explored that with Nassim Harriman. And so at this point, you know, we're going to be discussing whatever you got out of that. But I want each of my co-hosts to actually add their individuality to the summary in their terms and what they got out of it. And then I'm asking you, co-hosts, to move forward as I call you out to come out and explain what you got, to actually know what you got out of certain pages, as well as where we're at, like we're at either the end of two or we're in the three. So wherever you're at with that, where you have actually had openings, I know that each one of you have had your experience with this. I know that a priority to us is actually to explore the inner earth. So bring us up to date to you, to where you're at with it, what you have found acceptable, what you not, you might still be challenged by some of the sharing that has been, and exactly what you feel the book has given you so far. So let's do a summary here, and hopefully, listeners, we're answering to your questions and your needs to have further information. So listening to our conclusions maybe will help you get through whatever your particular questions are and whatever it is. And again, I appreciate that you do send those questions forwards and actually reflect to it. And we do our best to make it better for you every week, okay? So we're going to start out. We're going to let Geraldine Dalby-Ball in Sydney, Australia, actually give us the first run on that. And that would be from the beginning of the book to wherever we're at now. She's going to kind of bring you up to her particular point of knowledge, experience, and what she's enjoyed. Geraldine, are you there?
Absolutely.
There you are. Okay. By the way, we're actually doing this on Zoom, and we're looking at actually making this a podcast as well. So remember, co-hosts, that you need to be descriptive in whatever you're saying, because you may be using your hands to explore and express something, and our listeners don't see you, okay? So remember, we need to stay visible in language with them, okay? So, and Geraldine, I say that because you're coming on and you're very expressive, okay? And you put your whole body into the message. So just remember that we have to paint them the picture we're looking at, okay?
Right. Very aptly, the title at the beginning is A Powerful Shock. So that says so much. Now, a powerful shock can sometimes be subtle. And this is what I've noticed in this. There's almost a denial about what this is actually doing. And yet somehow it seeps in. It seeps in during the day. It seeps in the moments. It seeps in what so-called random podcast pops up and my suggested for you. So in this case, it's a powerful shock because it's subtle and it requires that observation of what's going on internally. And what I've noticed, as I mentioned, it might be that a podcast would be something on megalithic structures, but then it quite rapidly moves to the energy around some of these places and that modern science is picking up the energetic lines. And indeed, the book is telling us over and over again, we go as far as our consciousness is in alignment with the natural lines and with what's going on around us. And in terms of a powerful shock, what I find is that little voice inside that says, yeah, okay, I can change the channel quite easily and have a different radio station. What would happen if I changed the channel and had a different visual experience? Knowing that that's, according to the science, that's equally possible. And this is what I found the book is doing. So in terms of a powerful shock, it's shaking the very foundation of the idea that what I see out there is actual. And when you say, well, what if I could just change? What if all this physicality is not just how it is? That actually requires a reassessment of everything that I do.
Very good. That's exciting. And I'm sure Geraldine will be with us to go more in depth with some of what she's gotten out of the book as we bring things up now and start. Basically, we're trying to share with you where we were at the beginning of our story, okay, and what we've learned in those early pages. So we're going to have Trina from Denver, Colorado, come in. And so you want to share with us, Trina?
Yeah, I felt like the intro you did before was like, kind of like, where's Waldo? Is it, where's Trina? And I'm actually in Broomfield, Colorado, which was named after the broom corn that was grown to make brooms. So that's where the name came from, just to keep people, so it sticks in your head. But anyway, this book, from a powerful shock to what is really in the center of the earth, I did share that just reading the very intro of this started making me spinning, feeling like I was moving in other frequencies. So the book felt really powerful to me. And this challenge, this idea of what does going to the center of the earth actually mean? And the introduction of all these concepts that has really shaken me and shaken a lot of people, I believe, to look at what is science really based on at this point in time? And what did I actually take in and say, oh, the earth is actually made of the crust and the mantle, and you move toward the center, and then you get that external core and a hard core in the middle. That's the old science. But what was brought forward in this book, and Radu says, it's in here in the book that he was picked to write the stories to get the information out, and that this is truth. So to me, that's really important to open myself up to listen to this. And what was shared was the fact that the center of this planet, as well as other planets, as well as other things, is a black hole. And that this black hole expresses out, it condenses the etheric water, the water that's out in this other realm, this other frequency, and condenses it down and expels it out like ice. And at the same time as drawing in this cosmic dust to create a crust and the formation of a planet. Now, science is going to say to us that may not work because we use, you know, seismic waves to look at it. But it made me think, well, what when the seismic waves go through this, are they picking up on something else that's a block? Because one of the things that they said is this change in frequency. If you don't raise up to this frequency or change your frequency to match it, you can't enter. You can't go into the center of the earth. So if the frequencies aren't right, does it just go through, ping off? What happens? And so to me, it's brought up a lot of different issues around science, what's currently taught versus what he's saying, what's being shared in this book, what's true and what isn't true. So it's really opening yourself up to the concepts. So the idea of this was great.
This is great. Thank you. And we're going to move on to Rosemary over at Frankfurt, Germany.
Yes, hello. Well, asking myself what I got excited about. Well, I thought the first thing I wrote down is that it exists. Because, I mean, it was discovered by the U.S. military. It exists. There are 5 books written, which is open to all the public. You can buy it everywhere. And no one really talks about it. No one really knows. I thought that is really exciting, you know, that it's there. I mean, you can't visit it because they did everything to cloak it, but it exists. And for me, the most important thing, and we probably go more back in details, and Trina already started touching it, is the water. And it got me really excited about exploring water more. Because it does say that the water comes from the black hole inside our planet, and not only in our planet, everywhere. And that was really mind-boggling for me. And I started getting into water and what the properties of water are, because I've always been fascinated by the element of water. I thought, who could have thought about something like water? And of course, I also got excited that I was thinking this is going to be just an adventurous, nice story, you know, and about going into the inner earth. And I heard about some kind of strange beings living there. But then it was really a scientific book. I mean, I've learned so many new things about the black holes I didn't know before. I've learned so many things about the subtle plane, about consciousness. And there was a time where I said, oh, my God, this is really a science book and not an adventurous book to go into the inner earth. So I got really excited about it. And actually, it took me to other explorations. Like, I'm looking into the cave studies and the science of cave. I'm looking into the science of water. And the really book opened a lot for me. And there's a magic about it. There's really a magic about it. And it pulls you in when I think about the energy walls and all the unbelievable things we were reading about. When you imagine it, it's really exciting for me.
Wonderful. Okay, that's good to share. I think that for what the people are sharing that are sending in their questions, is that they are asking us to be more clear as to what we're calling the black hole. And when they, of course, you and I know, if they go into the dictionary, they're going to go get the old version and the undiscovered version of it, right? So maybe what we can do actually next week is actually start the program out by actually dealing more with what a black hole is and bringing that information into people's experience more, so that now as we move through the rest of the book, they can actually know that when they have references about the black hole and the water, you know, the biggest question is, okay, I'm lost. I think I know what a black hole is now, but where does the water come from? You know, so it's basic, real, new, you know, new level of thinking kind of questions. So we need to actually be able to have a bigger presentation, and maybe one or two of you co-hosts would actually get together and make a presentation, and you could actually do that at the beginning of our show. It's a matter of trying to make sure as they're reading, you know, it's sort of like that misspelled word. If you go past that misspelled word, the rest of what you read is thrown off a little, because that's the brain still trying to deal with understanding what that misspelled word was, or that mispronounced word, or that unknown word. So our brain does that. So we are, especially our listeners, are not getting the best out of the show, because they're looking to still try to go back and deal with, okay, we're still talking about a black hole. Okay, how does this black hole, how does this get water? Whatever, you know, whatever you're going through. We want to make sure that we bring more clarity to that. So we definitely will discuss black holes a little bit more. So I need a couple co-hosts to maybe host that information. But they're also asking, when we're talking about the waters and everything, and especially the change in vibration, we cannot expect that everybody's at our level of interest studies and whatever that they're talking about in this book. This book actually is made for what I would consider advanced studies. Don't I think you'd all say the same, because you're, as Rosemary shared, she's already learned a lot more than she knew before just reading a story. And she, I can tell you, she is well studied and well traveled. So at this point, we want to come to that a little bit more, and actually realize as we're presenting this book that we're giving them a greater understanding of that. So change of vibration, and as Trina had said, the lifting of our vibration and stuff actually plays a major role in this, okay? But if you have not experienced how many times you change your vibration already, and I don't care how unadvanced you may feel in your studies, you are changing your vibration with every emotion that you have. And if you're not aware of that change and in touch with that change, that's all we're talking about, is becoming aware of it, because you already do it. It's not something you're going to learn to do, or you'll get information on how to do it. You just need to know now for you to be aware that you have just done a particular shift. Maybe what I would call the dragonfly information, or the dragonflower medicine. With the dragonfly, they do a 180-degree shift while they're in direct flight, and never lose balance. Well, you do that as well. And you don't, if you're not perceptively aware of it, that's what we're talking about. You're not aware that you have just changed your vibration. So when you really get the heart of what they're sharing on how they're getting through this tunnel, they're actually sharing that especially our host that's taken us through this, that Raghu is actually saying he become aware, and then he understood, and then he become aware. But he didn't have to stop and do a practice and learn anything, okay? He just had to become more aware of exactly what the information is and where he goes with it. And that's all any of you have to do. And it's just become more attuned to that. So definitely we'll want to be more clear with you on that. So please just send your questions in, and we'll get as detailed as we can, okay? And so we're going to pick it up now, and Joyce is going to do a couple minutes here on her particular perspective on the first part of our book.
Yes, it's been an exciting journey already. I already had a really strong interest in reading this book before I even opened the book, because I had heard Grandmother Parisha share some of the glimpses of her experiences, which definitely piqued my interest over the years. So in addition, my personal experiences visiting caverns and caves have stimulated such colors and shapes and lights. And then to visit the Grand Canyon and look down into the depths of the Grand Canyon, think it's like 2 miles or something like that in depth, or into the inner earth. I think the total excitement and energy change, just being present where they play.
Okay, she's cutting out. Joyce, you're cutting out, so we're going to come back to you. Okay, and we're going to move forward now and let Marianne Love from Melbourne, Australia, to actually bring in some of her experience in the early parts, the early chapter.
Marianne. Hi, everyone. Great to be here. Hello. I think what stands out for me in this book, the readers could look at page 43, and it sums it up for me really well, is that at the center of the earth is a soul, is a beingness and a consciousness. So this isn't just a black hole that's a nothingness, because within the nothingness is the essence and a being that helps me, like with what you were just saying, Grandmother, just realize that that is a truth and just connect more and more as I walk around on the surface of the earth, that everything is alive and has a consciousness, just like within me, I have a consciousness. And like he speaks about here, like a doctor could touch the heart of a human's, within a human's body, but not touch its soul. And I feel like this is similar to what's being described about the inner earth. It's like it takes it to a whole nother level of beingness. And that at that core is a living consciousness. And that brings me so much hope and so much just joy for this earth and planet, that there is this big loving consciousness that's manifesting all the time and can manifest beauty on the earth. And we can support that.
Yes, you can. And that's very good. You're still in that magical room that I like. I'm coming to Australia to help you find that room, okay? And now we have Mike Dillard from Montreal, Canada. And Mike, you want to add your impression of the first parts of the chapters?
Yeah, I do. I think it was really interesting that you asked us at this point in time in the book to do this, because I was cruising kind of along, going with the flow. And when I did this reflection, it really was, you know, kind of earth-shattering. And when I reflect back on everything that we've read up to this point, I think that what has had the most profound effect on me is realizing how much of our current worldview is limited by our prejudices. Just the whole idea that there's a very rational scientific explanation for a whole different geology than I had come to accept is really eye-opening. But that rational scientific explanation involves science is because it's beyond our rationale. And I think that even beyond the excitement that I feel for Radu as he prepares himself mentally for this expedition is the excitement that I feel simply by suddenly being willing to accept that there's another way to look at things. And that is so fundamental, so basic, so core that possibilities are endless. And I've heard and read wise people's words, and I've always marveled and wondered what they meant when they preached that enlightenment would completely overturn our sense of reality. And after eavesdropping on Radu's discussion with Caesar and with Dr. Zhen, I think that I'm beginning to understand a little bit that a little bit better, I guess. I think the scientific community has been way too lax at pursuing alternative theories and has conveniently kind of disregarded data and observation and theories that run counter to prevailing thought. So what's clear to me is that whether or not I believe what Radu has written in this book, I have to accept that the scientific explanations that he represents are at least as valid as the conventional model.
Yep.
And therefore need to be given the same degree of scrutiny and consideration as the traditional views.
This is great. So, I agree.
That's what I got.
Well, I agree with you. And one of the things that I want to share, because you brought that particular aspect up, is that in looking and doing all the research I'm involved in right now, actually looking at the insanity that's going on all over our world, okay, and actually studying and looking the research and the data that's coming in as to how people, different research people are looking at how this is happening and how that's happening and everything. And then I stopped because I actually read this. It said they did a survey of 100,000 people. Okay, and they went into each state, especially the large cities, and out of that 100,000, all of the U.S., all of the particular locations for the U.S., all the states, okay, they took some people in different districts of those states, and these are the 100,000 people, all these variances, okay? And the question was, do you trust science? Because obviously some of the research was showing that people said they don't believe the scientists and they don't, you know. And so it's actually in that survey. Do you realize that 98% of the people said, I don't understand science, therefore I do not trust it?
Wow.
I mean, you know, then, you know, it's like there's an innocence into it, isn't it? Like they don't, they don't know what to believe of that. And then they begin to actually show the particular research on that shows that this, after they do deeper research on the non-belief, that it's because of religions having conflict with science, and that long before either of us was born, the church was saying that science is not real, and science, of course, is the conflict between church and science, was that the church didn't want anybody to believe in science or pursue it, right? So what's the effects in our world today is most of the people, we take it so common because we associate with kinship and people who think like us, right? But this tells me what a minimal amount of the population we are, you know, and that there's these people don't even want to hear what you're saying science has proven. And therefore, so we have to look at, you know, for people that we're inviting to read this book, not only are they not understanding a black hole, okay, we're expecting them to understand all this other stuff. And then when we're basing it on science has proven, we're talking to deaf numbness. You know what I'm saying? That people are just numb to this. So that's why I decided that our reviewing brings it home more, because we can talk about our particular reaction to the information. And while we're probably far more supportive than some of our listeners, we are actually dealing with our own emotional conviction of what we're learning, because now we have had a trail of things that's opened up for us. And on top of that, we're throwing this in it. And I think Rosemary expressed that very much, that even at this level, and I know that I am well read, and I know that I am well studied, and I know that I have many, many years of my life and experience. But how do you bring another person into understanding that who has had not a vague idea of that? So we have to talk from where we're at with it, because it's the wisdom that we have we can pass on. If it's still knowledge and we're still exploring and trying to understand ourselves, you're still working on it. So we need to share with them what part of us is still working on it. We need to share, though, we're presenting the book and we're all excited about it. We have to help them understand some of the missing words, okay, like the black hole, like water in the black hole and stuff like that. And so we need to be aware and go where they're at and understand what we're talking about and their lack of experience or understanding of it at all. So to be good teachers, we're going back through this on a personal basis, trying to help you, our listeners, which is the whole purpose of being on the show, is we want to help share these experiences. We want you to know. So, like I said, don't, you know, at this point, make no judgment of yourself when you don't understand. And at this point, see nothing beyond your ability to understand, and that you'll get those answers by your questions. And more examples, like the co-host will begin to give you more examples, and maybe that'll help some. I mean, you know, we're taking you down a path to where you see nothing familiar. And in that, we have a greater responsibility as teachers to make sure we teach at whatever point you need to understand. So I appreciate that, Michael, because that was a fact that I didn't know. I would think it would be like maybe 50 or 40, 60, but you know, 98 was like, oh, good God, you know, we're a minority for sure. So yes, very
wow. So. Yeah.
Okay, and we're going to start back with Geraldine. And Sydney and Geraldine, let's move forward from the first impact and impression of the book. And in, as we move forward in the chapters, what were some of the highlights for you, sharing exactly what the book said and the particular impression you got from that?
There's a figure, which is why it's really good to get the book and see the figure, but also check the blog sites, because we can share some of these on our blog site. But in essence, I'll just read the lines. This is about going into the center of the earth. If you adhere to a certainty continuum in movement, so that means if you continually move, physical matter starts to become somehow lighter. Then a plasma-like condition manifests, which is an even more rarefied condition. Then you emerge totally into the subtle planes where matter is actually energy materializing on different vibrational frequencies conditionally based upon the dimension or plane or manifestation you have reached. Now, that sounds like a mouthful, but I say get the book, page 59, read it multiple times. And like I did, so we've put this as a blog post, I've actually looked up words. So we've looked up words like plasma, and this is not plasma that's in your blood. This is plasma meaning all of the parts of matter that are energized and out there. So it's not empty space. It's full of plasma. It's full of information. It's full of little, I'm not even going to say little pieces because that's an old materialistic way of looking at it. It's full of energy and vibration and frequency. And it's up to where we're at that influences that, that then is what we see. So I then had to look up the word rarefied. That just sounds like something's not common because we go to the word rare. But actually the definition of rarefied is less dense. And I sort of laughed at this because I saw two meanings of the word dense. It was like dense as in, yes, less pieces of stuff, less solid, so more like a gas. I know I'm using my hands, but let's say more like a gas. And the other word, like, has just recently been discussed, dense in terms of ignorance. And as you get closer to the center of the earth and the black hole and the subtle planes, there can be less density. And my mind went less ignorance. And as a scientist, I'm a trained scientist. Not that qualifications necessarily make any difference. Sometimes they can be a burden. But in theory, I have first class honors in science. So for those who that matters, I can say that the scientific principles are never that we know something. They are our best interpretation. And the idea of science is to continuously improve upon that, but then comes in human nature. Who wants to say that their peers were wrong? Who wants to be the one that has a freaky idea? I can tell you one person, Albert Einstein, Nassim Haramein, Nikola Tesla. So this is your invitation on two ways, and it's been like that for me, to become less dense in terms of the book is opening my mind to be less ignorant in terms of what I know, but less ignorant also in terms of open. And the other aspect of it is inside the earth, it becomes less dense, more open to being anything that you see it to be. They're the key things that I found.
That's wonderful. Very, very good. Okay, Trina.
There you go. It's interesting, and Geraldine brought up some things that I had thought about too, because the basic premise is that everything is energy. And she brought up Albert Einstein, and he's a famous physicist that everyone has paid attention to. They hear that, they understand that. But now we're talking about, well, what is the energy exactly? And on page 85, they talked about the black hole again. And this one kind of really grabbed me because he said the whole of the central black hole, the role of the central black hole is to serve as a converter of matter. By absorbing matter at a certain speed and through its rotational gravitational features, it also gets to create matter. And I thought, wow, we've always been taught the black hole's a destroyer, but now we're looking at it as a converter and a creator. That's such a unique and interesting idea. And the explanation he gives is that, you know, the weight, the size, the weight of the planet, there's a balance that's going on there. There's stuff being absorbed, there's stuff being put out, and it's keeping a balance to the planet. So the size of our planet's there, but they've never really been able to say, sheer erosion is not going to be able to keep the planet from getting bigger or getting smaller. So one of the things that I really love in here is he keeps bringing forward a point. And then he says, huh, again, I'm amazed at the ignorance of this elementary observation. And this is obvious, but it wasn't obvious because, you know, we weren't taught to see it. We've been walking around with blinders on. So the more we open to things, as Mike was saying, the more we express or stay open to these ideas, then we can go, oh, that's right in front of my nose. And throughout this whole book, it's right there. He challenges this idea of science, another idea of science. And it's actually making me look at so many pieces in my life of, well, I was taught this, but is that really true? I was taught that, but was that really true? And it's opening up to so much more. So this whole idea of flipping from destroyer to creator, I went, oh, and I can't always see energy, but I can see the effects of it. So how much more is going to be presented in this book? It's really exciting to me, to the way that they're giving us new ideas to think about, which opens up our whole world of potential.
Absolutely. Very exciting. Very exciting. Okay, Rosemary, would you like to share some of your particular experience?
Yes. As I had mentioned before, I really got excited about the creation of the water. And also what was very interesting about it is, yes, there's water, there's liquid water, and it has been created by the black hole. But, and that was really interesting, it has been condensed by the subtle element of water. So I said when I read it the first time, I thought, well, it wasn't the liquid water. There was no liquid of water. There was a subtle element of water from which the black hole, through its rotational abilities, created the liquid of water. So there is another element in this. And what is this other element? What is subtle? It means non-physical. It means metaphysical. It means God. It means the vacuum. It means energy. And he comes later in the book actually to that point where he says again that the scientists are only looking that the physical appearance maybe of water is caused by physical appearance, but it isn't on the same plane. Everything which we see in physical, like liquid of water, is caused by something behind it, by the subtle plane. And that is which the scientists are not acknowledging, that there is something. I mean, it is unthinkable for them to think that there's a subtle element of water. That's unthinkable for them. And I got really excited about the idea when I was researching, because I found out that people have been actually researching the craters in Mars and other planets around the sun, the inner planets. And they were studying the idea, how come that there was water in these craters? I mean, these were actually lakes, you know, there was water on Mars once in a lake. And how come that there was water in there? And they discovered it could not have come from the outside. They realized that the way these places were looking, it didn't come from the outside, so it must have come from the inside. And here we are back to what he explains, that the black hole actually draws from the subtle element of water and creates the liquid of water. Then it spells it out into the cosmos, as he explains, and it comes back in a mixture of dust and water, mostly ice, to build the crust around the black hole in the Earth, which forms then the planet. So what the idea basically is, water is essential for all creation. And we always kind of casually have said that, you know, well, water is, we all come out of the ocean, and the ocean is the source of all life on our planet. But it is much more beyond that. Water is also the source in the cosmic space of everything created. And that really got me excited. And I find that we need to also, I was doing more studies, and there's an interesting study that they find more properties to water than just what we know, liquid, ice, and gas. There's much more properties to water, and water is becoming more and more a mystery for me. I really like to study more. I mean, just think about the healing properties of water. They're just in the beginning of that. What water can do. So that was for me one of the main points, and I hope I explained a little bit more how water got created on our planet and inside the Earth.
That's real good. That's exciting too. What I would suggest for people who have not had experience or have not had some of the in-depth studies that we discuss and given our perspective of it, to get exposed to a microscope someplace and take a drop of water and actually change different measure the different levels of what you can see through the scope. So there are actually different levels of water. And you'll see that within a drop of water, there are actually planes of information that you don't see in just observing the full drop of water. And then you actually see, when you see the up close, and you go to the next level, and the next level, and the next level, you start seeing all these variances of existence in this small drop of water. And that you are now looking through a microscope and looking at that, there is something's going to happen in the neurons. Okay, and in that neural net that you have, now you're going to have an experience that says, wow, I could not believe all the life forms and everything moving around in just a drop of water. And if I look deeper, there was a whole nother culture. I look deeper, there's a whole nother culture. And you can do that as many as 7 times. You can actually change the magnifying source of what you're looking at, and it'll change each time. Yet you look at this little tiny drop of water, because whatever we do the drop with is with a dropper. You don't just pour water on the thing. You just make one drop. And then you're seeing how many universes there is, how many levels of cultural life that is actually in play. And then that changes your neural net. And so then you're open to another level of, okay, so we're talking about something on a bigger level. We're talking about matter within this or that, or we're talking about a big black hole, or we're talking about being in a cave. But now you already have some perspective that should not argue with anything you think you don't know, but now says, I've had an experience, and in that experience I've seen the invisible, the invisible, and the potential of it. And that's like I said, the experience messes with your neural net big time. It's like earthquakes. So to just do a drop of water under a microscope, I have helped so many people move from their disbelief or their lack of even wanting to believe, because it scares them, to actually look at that drop and see what you've been looking at. You drink it, you take a bath with it and everything else, and it's loaded with life forms, densely loaded with life forms. So just take some experience with some of what we're sharing with you and move forward with that. Okay, let's go to Joyce. Joyce, is your computer working?
It's good now, yes. And I want to go back for a moment to where it all started, because I found it intriguing to hear about the Buzigi Mountains, and that it was actually the United States forces that found the caverns and the Great Hall underneath the earth. So that by itself was pretty major. But then it created a political situation, because here we are in a country that's Romania, and Romania at the time had a good relationship with China. So that's where Dr. Zian comes in, because he's from China. So I just found it was fabulous that there was more than one country represented in what was happening here. And then they described exactly what they had to do to try to make sure. In fact, I think they used the word guarantee, that no one else was going to by mistake or by chance discover. So they set up in 3 days, which was just mind-boggling what they described, changed the geography of the mountain so that there'd be absolutely no sign that there was anything there, so that somebody could go searching, but they just wouldn't find it. So that piece by itself intrigued me, absolutely. And then it went on to really share about the actual rooms, and that you can't, going into the rooms changes your energy level, and that if people's energy, and we'll be talking a lot more about this, I know, if the energy level that you live in is such, you won't even get in the door of these great caverns, these rooms that they're calling definite projection hall and grand galleries, and then the beginning of the tunnel. So that obviously motivates me to want to evolve my energy levels, my frequencies, so that I can go at the very minimum into the projectional and grand gallery. And that there's such a feeling of a change of emotional chemistry.
Okay, so we're gonna move on and pick it up here. We have Marianne Love. Marianne, are you there?
I am here, and I'm loving what everybody's sharing, so thank you for that. It's awesome. So what stands out for me, just in addition to what other people are sharing, is about the living beings that are actually in some of the cavities within the earth. That has just opened up just a whole nother dimension to living and reality for me, which I love. Like, I love the playful things in this book as well as the sciences in the book. And some of the playful things for me are that there are whole other species and beings that live in the cavities within the earth. And that's a whole world within itself. So I think you must have known what I was going to share, Grandmother, because I think sharing about the water and looking inside the water and seeing living things that we can't see with our own eyes helps us understand how, in fact, that would make even sense that there is other beings inside the earth to me that we haven't been trained to see, so therefore we don't have a neural net for it. So therefore, you know, we think it's not there because we don't have the neural programming for it. But and the other thing in the book, I was having a laugh with myself because I was thinking when they went down into the tunnel and they met one of the living inner beings as a hologram of itself to invite them to go further into the tunnel and to say that they know they're coming and that they're welcome. And I wondered how inside the tunnel they would have like a projector or how it would have electricity. And I was thinking on like this material plane, like they'd have a projector of some form and they'd have electricity. Anyway, then I realized reading it again that actually when you get in there, you raise your frequency so much that you actually don't need all those things that we have on the material plane to see things like holograms. And that it's just a function of the frequency you're at that you can actually see it. But you might correct me if that's wrong, Grandmother, but that's what I came to as I reread it.
No, that's very right on. And I want you to pay attention as you're studying and looking at this. They don't talk about stopping and having lunch. They don't talk about laying down and taking a nap, okay? So know that the reality of time is also changing in this experience. So you step very much out of where you live and where you think from in order to accomplish such a journey. So that was good. Okay, and we're going to look now to Mike. Mike, you want to add some?
Yeah, I got to say, I'm really excited about this whole process of moving through dimensions as one travels into the inner earth. And before I started reading this book, I don't think I would have meant that the same way that I do right now. I would probably never have considered that going inside the earth would involve changes in those areas. And I consider myself a scientist, a relatively open-minded one, I hope. But the whole process of reading Radu's accounts and then reflecting on them and finally concluding that, my God, it's all possible, has been a journey that has shaken me to my foundation. I'm one of those people who learned the math and the scientific principles that are taught in the schools and the universities. And in my profession, we depend on those laws and principles to make sure the things we build work the way we want them to work. Sure, you know, there were some places where holes had been punched in my scientific bastion of knowledge, like when I did my first fire walk, for example. But those exceptions were relegated to the back burner and never really got dissected too closely. So overall, I read the theories and pretty much bought the whole enchilada. But it's been there staring me in the face the whole time, and this is the first time I'm really seeing it. And I remember at one point in the book, Radu is speaking with Caesar, and Caesar tells the story of the magician. And he says, to someone watching the magician do the trick, it really does look like magic. And it definitely looks like the magician has broken the laws of science. And even if you ask the magician how the trick is done, well, he's going to maintain the sense of illusion and that science has been defied. But someone with a view from a different angle or a different vantage point could clearly see the sleight of hand or the misdirection that the magician had used to create his illusion. They would understand that a new perspective provides the science that explains the trick. And when I realized that simple concept, really understood it, it was like a curtain being pulled back on a whole new world of possibilities. And I feel like the Flatlanders who realize there are three dimensions and how much they don't know about the world.
Right.
We've been approaching science and reality from this narrow three-dimensional perspective. And we've had the clues. Miko Kaku spoke about 10 dimensions and other people have preached multiple dimensions. But up till now, I just accepted they were insignificant. But suddenly I have reason to think about, what if they're not insignificant, but rather immensely significant and in wildly new ways?
Yeah. Very, very good. Very good. We all have had news and heard things to where something extraordinary happened. For an example, a mother crashes the car and the car rolls over and she can't get the child out by the door she is. And all of a sudden she's able to move a full car, not a little car, a full car. And then we realize we're looking at a 120-pound woman who just lifted how many pounds of metal and car, right? And then we go, wow. But we really then don't really know what we're going wow about, because we are not looking at what did that just take and understanding exactly what physical dimensional change did this woman have to go through to be able to do that. And what was her driving force? Well, to be her driving force was to make sure she saved her child. Okay. And that in that event, when we don't consider what could go wrong, when we don't consider what our odds are, and we don't decide that we don't have enough time, money, or we're small and we're a woman and whatever else, that we just follow that energy and to know that no matter what else, you're going to get that child out of that car. Okay. She was in another dimension. See, in the physical three-dimensional world that we're in, she couldn't do that. She had to step out. And by what being twitchy, she was stepping out of it because she didn't think about all the obstacles she had to overcome. She wasn't thinking about the lack of possibility that a 120-pound woman would have to pick up a 1,800-pound car. You know what I'm saying? So we do that all the time, though. And so we consider these extraordinary things, you know. We live, we have news that'll tell us somebody fell 5 stories out of a house, okay, a window someplace. And when they landed, they didn't break any bones or anything. And we're wondering, how can that happen? Well, somewhere between the top floor and the bottom of where they were headed, they changed vibrations and they did not bring bodily harm. And we look at that over and over and working with veterans and hearing where they have to do that. They have to switch the dimension to know that they're stepping out in front of gunfire. They have to take themselves someplace else or they're going to be shot. So when we see all of the people who share, all the veterans that share and ask, why am I here? You know, my buddy to the left, my body, you know, my friend over here to the right, they all fell. How is it that I made it out of there? It was the mindset and how he was not dealing with dying or even negotiating the possibility he was going to be shot. Because when I went further the interview, so what was the state? Well, I didn't want to think about my fear, so I wouldn't let myself think about getting shot. I you know, at this point, I actually contemplated that I could be invisible. You know, they may not even see me. I may not even be anybody's target. So he went into a different reality to handle the fact of matter that in him walking out there in front of gunfire could not make it back. Okay, so it is actually where we put ourselves into finding out and exploring this. And some of you are actually having that experience through reading this book. And so this is why we keep telling you, our listeners, please go get the book. Because even with us talking to you and everything from our perspective, if you can follow us every week with it and actually see. Here's a big thing. The illustrations are very, very necessary for you to have a true physical experience with what you're reading, and the understanding of what they're discovering and describing is how the inner earth happens and how you get in there. So again, please get the book. And as you go through the book, like I said, and you follow us, now we're pretty much around halfway through, okay? Don't let that discourage you. I don't care if you understand one chapter, you understand a lot. I don't even care if you don't get your book until we're one page away. I can tell you once you connect to that one page and you work with us through that, you're going to go all of a sudden accumulate, run all the way back and realize each time you thought you didn't understand, this now helps you understand. It's the connecting point of the loop that we evolve with in our thinking and our brain. So any of this is being real. Like I said, to do the microscope, it's just so much enlightening. You know, just do something physical to get past denial. And if, you know, like now you don't know whether to believe science or not, you know, just read some scientific information and hear the explanation. And if that point, if it begins to make any sense to you, you're already on your way out of the sandbox, okay? And so it's a matter of exposing yourself to certain things to come to a manner and a way, a plan, to actually move through it and actually come out the other side with something more precious. And so just doing that, just, you know, like I said, getting into it. And I want to say for all of you that are, and our listeners that are sending communication, and like this week there was a whole handful, there was better than 207 that I saw, and a whole lot more I didn't get to reading. For that many of you to actually come forward with your questions, and then I think that's powerful. That's as powerful to me as a mother lifting a car to get her kid out of there. To know that you don't understand, but that you're finding the story exciting, and then your excitement makes you want to understand something that makes no sense at all to you, but you feel you ought to know about it more, and maybe it would help you be, you know, enjoy your story more. I think that that's powerful. I think that you're already in the transition of changing that. And I say, I think only to be respectful of you and not be so bold to say, I know you're already on your way out of that box. Okay. And so that you would even come forward and talk to us and move with that and actually begin to want to know more. I can tell you, you're already looking to a higher level of information and intelligence. So you want to keep doing that. You really want to keep doing that, moving forward with actually understanding. And please go back through the book and look at all the illustrations. The illustrations are roadmaps to a greater understanding of what we're talking about. And my co-hosts all come to you from different levels of their life experience. You know, every one of them have a background in teaching and working and being part of spirituality as well, living a spiritual life. And their studies are endless. I mean, this book has become something more and stronger for us. And I wanted to share with all of you that are asking me, where are the holes? Where are the holes? You know, where's the entrances? Okay, I'm very now planning within the next 10 days that I will be going to the entrance that is in the Grand Canyon. There is a huge one in the Grand Canyon. We actually have, we own a land, and I hate to say own because I don't want to own my mother, but in the minds of a bank and people who believe in boundaries, they expect to know that that's your property and you own it. I understand that I have made a condition of where I can be a keeper for the mother in a particular parcel of measure of land. Okay. I've learned now through actually having friends that's helped make information from our, the satellites and stuff. One of the tunnels from the and the property that we have is actually at the base of the Grand Canyon. And so I was delighted recently that information came that right under our land is the descending factor of the tunnel that's there. And I got all excited about that. And so when I was speaking to some of the Pueblo elders, they said it is time that we now make our journey. And now that you know that, you understand the importance we make of the land that's there, and that they were inviting. And I said, we have to see how everything works with the other things I'm doing. But yes, if at all possible, I will go in with you. So there are places, and if you're gravitating to a certain location, if you have a calling to be at a certain place, chances are you're either on the surface of one of those tunnels or you're close to that magnetic wall, okay? And any of that actually determines your ability to begin to be very sensitive to all that goes on there. And I'm looking for more as we advance in the book, because a lot of you are asking, what do people look like? What are those beings like? Can they come to the surface and everything else? I can only tell you in the many histories and stories of what we learn from the desert people here in the Southwest. They talk about their particular God or their particular source, and they talk about how it brought them to the surface. So they consider their whole life existence up until that point was living in the inner earth. And these people's DNA says they are definitely a different DNA. So with that, then you have to make up your own decision of how much more you're going to believe about it, okay? But that they have come to the surface by a being that looks like a giant ant, and it's very, very gray, light gray in complexion, and looks like a very naked ant, okay? And actually looking at that and realizing their name for that being is so definitely that they have made source and a god out of that. But of course, then again, they see the godliness and everything that reflects God in all things. So basically, there is that opening, and I've watched my friends from these villages go down in that many times. And I have a definitely close relationship with one of the elders that are very, very known for this travel, and a young woman that actually saw some parts of my early life, who actually descended into the inner earth and was told she would not be coming back to the surface. So every once in a while, there is actually communication that comes from her. So how real is all of this? Okay, I've had in-depth experience with that. And I need you to know the only difference between you and me is how open-minded I am to it. And the things that I have done to actually help myself see beyond the illusion of matter, density, and disconnection. And like I said, right down to the microscope, or basically go someplace to where you realize to be there, you've had to overcome a fear or a resistance. And that the more you face fears and get to the other side of it, you are changing your vibration on a permanent basis. So there's just so many ways that we can actually prepare ourselves greater for the venture, okay? And that adventure is one that changes your perspective of life forever, okay? So let's look at this. We have like about a minute of peace for you guys. Let's close it up with some final sharing that you want to do. And we can start with Geraldine.
It really continues from the sharing that you've just done, that so much of the opening of perspective is listening to traditional peoples, ancient peoples, the stories that are still intact. And that's a very definite thing here in Australia with the First Peoples, continuous 40,000 plus year direct knowledge and experience.
Okay, we move on to Trina. Trina, are you there?
Yep. Two things really quick. The first thing is, I keep thinking, what if I was taught this first? What would my life be like if I was taught this first? And the second thing is that I was sharing this about this story with my brother-in-law earlier today, and he said, it's so funny you're telling me this. That new movie about King Kong and Godzilla, they talk about them coming from the inner earth, and the scientists are trying to get in, and they can't figure out why they can't get in, what's blocking them. So I'm like, is the movie leaking out some information?
And isn't it so familiar that we'll be studying and discussing something and everything, and all of a sudden we find a flash on news that brings it out that, oh, here's this going on that, and we see the synergy in it, okay? Mm-hmm. And I realize that unconsciously, if we need to say that, we are aware that is. And then just the concentration we make of it begins to create something else that's exposing it. So you have a great deal of reason why that would come up now. You're creating that in the world. And when you begin to understand that, how much of what's going on in the world can you be an instrument of peace? You know what I'm saying? So it's just your strength and inner strength to see that. Thank you for sharing that. And Rosemary, you want to do some final words here?
Yeah, what comes to me again is what I said last time in the show, is like that stay open for the question, you know, like stay in the question. What if, you know, and could it be, And maybe it is different. How could it be different? And not only relating to the book, but to the whole life, to everything which is happening, because we are in a time of great change. And so the curtains, as you said, are moving aside and be open and thinking, what if maybe it is possible? And in that moment, you're already getting ready to see what you haven't been able to see before. So I think it is important to stay in the question, to love the questions.
We had the first ceremony of this year I did. We had a great number of children that come that usually don't, and there was that it helped. I was attending it where there was a 110-year-old Mayan elder, and the children were asking similar questions to what you're saying and stuff, and their questions were very valid and everything. And then she said to them, when they were expecting her to answer, she said, "In your heart, would you like it to be true?" And of course, the children said yes. And she said, "Then close your eyes and write the story, because you have lived it through your mind and your eyes." And so some of the children later, after this part of the ceremony that I had to be in, there was no talking and everything, but then I come back around and I saw two or three of the young people, and I asked them, "Did you do as grandmother had suggested?" And they said, "Yeah." The one young man's eyes were like saucers, and he goes, "I did what she said, and I laid down and I thought I fell asleep. But then what I remember of the dream is that I went there and I was actually talking to them," because his question was about aliens. And he said, "They told me they've come in peace, but they know that we're not ready for that." And he said, "I want to find out how we get ready, you know?" And he was all excited about that. And the other two shared similar stuff, that they didn't want to see aliens or anything, but they wanted to know, you know, why do we do ceremonies, and why does my parents want me to do this or that? And that they went into the dream and that they got answers. They met people they didn't know that gave them answers. You know what I mean? So just things like that. And knowing that when we allow the children who are not blocked yet, they have not been told and taught and hardwired to not accept, that they can come back with answers to help lift the consciousness of all that's around us. So all of that is exciting. Okay. And now we move over to, let's see, Marianne Love.
Sure. I think the big take home for me is about raising our frequency and vibration to actually be able to see and connect with, just as you're sharing. And it's almost bringing me peace to know that these holes and inner tunnels actually can't be entered just by anybody. We actually have to be a level of consciousness to enter it. So kind of ensures the evolution of our consciousness on the planet, that we keep expanding and growing.
How much of this influences what you're doing with your patients now?
I mean, all the studies we've done influences how outside the box I see things, and then I have to weave that in subtly into how, where I can speak from where they can understand and not blow people's mind beyond what's effective. So it's a tricky, I get good at that balance. I can tell you I'm very good at that dance.
But I'm sure you get excited, and just your emanations is going to help their breakthrough. So I was eager to see that you're actually, I don't mean share what the book is about, that might be a little bit too much, but from your perspective of what you've learned that is real in vibration and everything, how much of that are you passing forward to what you're doing with your patients? Because there's a lot there, isn't there? There's a lot there. Very much so. So, Mike, you want to give us some closing words?
Well, I'm very practical about this. At this point, if I've learned anything from the first part of this book, it's don't have any prejudices when you start to go into something. So I want to go into this second half without any idea what the heck we're getting ourselves into. And I suspect if it moves me 1/10 as much as the first half did, it's going to be pretty exciting. So I can't wait.
And follow grandmother's suggestion. Do you want to believe this?
And absolutely.
Then with some of your meditation time, lay down and begin to daydream your story and see who shows up and what comes out. So, you know, it's the same for us as it is the children. We want to explore. And so that's where we go. So I'm going to close up now and let our listeners know we're very, very happy that you've joined us. Your questions and your contact is extremely important to us, and we take it serious. You make us better people and better speakers and teachers by your questions. So always, there's no need. Many of you apologize when you have questions. No, it's wonderful, wonderful that you have questions and that you're hanging tight with us, even though you don't understand it all. That's just amazing. That's just absolutely exciting. So we're welcoming that. And meanwhile, we want you to involve yourself more in the adventure as we're talking about it ourselves and actually experience those changes. And then you own that experience. Okay. So you have a great week and actually know that you're thought of and prayed for every day by us as we do our four directional prayers. And we wish you always all good things. Osea.
Thank you for listening to Quantum Leap Book Club. For more information where you can contact us, go to loaradionetwork.com/quantum-leap. Have a great week.